the Evan Bray Show. That's a song for my sister. Thanks to Frank. Sister, you know who you are. But really, I just want to say happy birthday to my brother, Jaysh. Josh, you've heard him talking about the Oilers on this program. Sent our family chat a picture yesterday of some Blue Jays caught on his hunting cam. And I was so prepared to say today, the Jays didn't show up in Seattle because they were hunting for deer in Saskatchewan. But alas, they showed up. Well, we have a delightful show for you today. We've got my tech bestie, Carmi Levy, my singer-songwriter bestie, Jeffrey Straker. Okay, they may not consider me their besties, but I certainly consider them mine. But first, it's time for All Things Serious with the Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, the Big Talker.
Well, all eyes on Ottawa this week, and perhaps more pointedly on Washington. Joining me now with his ear to the ground on all things trade and all things federal government is the Globe and Mail's gift that keeps on giving, Ottawa Bureau Chief Robert Fyfe. Robert, welcome back to the Evan Bray Show. Thanks for taking the time.
Good morning.
All right. As you reported yesterday, high-level trade talks between Canada and the U.S. have resumed in Washington. Who's down there, and what do you know about what's happening?
Well, Dominic LeBlanc, who is the Minister for Canada-U.S. Trade Relations, is down in Washington. He arrived on Monday, or Sunday night, actually, but the talks began on Monday. And as well, Michael Sabia, who is a clerk of the Privy Council, who is the country's top civil servant and right-hand man to the Prime Minister, but more importantly to that, he ran Hydro-Quebec. He ran the CASTEPOP, the Quebec's biggest pension plan. And he ran, at one point, Bell Canada Enterprises. So he's an extremely capable executive who has had a lot of experience in negotiations from his corporate days. And then we have Kirsten Hillman, the Canadian ambassador, who is the country's chief negotiator. They've been involved in negotiations last week and this week with the U.S. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick and the U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer. I think we're getting closer to a deal, but one never knows because the president always has to sign up. But the fact of the matter, after the prime minister's meeting with the President Trump at the White House, they told the leader that they told their teams to get working on trying to come up with a deal. And the talks went till late Friday, and then they broke for the weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, and they're back in Washington again. And there is no specific time for them to come home. So these talks are going on, and I have nothing to substantiate this, but I have just a gut feeling that we're making some real progress here, and hopefully we'll get a deal.
Well, when Robert Fyfe has a gut feeling about something going on, I tend to trust it. So that's very interesting. We'll be keeping a close eye there. Of course, all part of this conversation, automaker Stellantis announced late Tuesday that it was shifting a production line from Brampton, Ontario, down to Illinois. This just hours after total tariffs on softwood lumber rose to 45%. And of course, we have the 50% tariffs on steel, on aluminum, 25% on Canadian autos, not accounting for the carve-out for American parts. How are you hearing these conversations being incorporated into the larger trade deal conversations this week?
Well, what the Canadian government wants to be able to do is to have a comprehensive deal to lift the Section 32, which are national security BS that the Trump administration put to be able to hit us with these tariffs. Canada is not a national security threat to the United States. That's just ridiculous. But they want to get some kind of a bilateral agreement. So, and let's be honest here, it's not going to be back to normal. We're going to have to pay tariffs, and there's probably going to be quotas. Probably not on aluminum because the Americans really need aluminum, but perhaps on steel, perhaps on autos. Lumber, I'm not sure what they're going to do. This has been a perennial problem, as you know, since Confederation. But hopefully we'll get some kind of an agreement with them on lumber as well. But we will end up paying tariffs, and it's not going to be great, but it's going to be better than what it is right now.
There was an Ipsos poll recently, I think it was a couple weeks ago now, that showed that the majority of Canadians expect that we are going to be embroiled in trade talks with the U.S. for some time, but that they are confident that it might not have been in the majority, but I think it was 40-something percent said that they were confident that Prime Minister Carney will get a deal. What you are outlining right now, how hard of a sell do you think that will be for Carney to make to Canadians and keep them on his side with this stuff? How, you know, when we're going to be announcing something that's probably going to hurt at least a little bit?
Look, I it's going to be a situation where people involved in these sectors are probably not going to be overly happy. Neither will the premiers, but it'll be the best deal we can possibly get. We're a small country of 40 million people. 80% of our trade flows to the United States. They have a market of 350 million people. We are not in a great bargaining position here. We have to try to get the best possible deal we can, but every other country has had to pay tariffs and has had to, in some cases, have quotas on what, how much they can ship in. We'll see what the final outlook of this is going to be. It's going to have to be on paper and signed because otherwise you have Trump can just change his mind on a whim. Mm-hmm. And so if he signs an agreement, that'll provide some stability for the Canadian economy as we prepare to enter into more wider range talks on the Continental Free Trade Agreement, which the Americans actually want to split Canada and Mexico off, so it's not the United States-Mexico-Canada free trade deal, but it'll be, you know, a separate deal with Canada and a separate deal with Mexican. This way they can put even more pressure on us.
And what do we think about that? What does Team Canada think about that?
Well, I mean, we might get a better deal than the Mexicans because we don't have the same kind of border problems that they do. You know, there was a great deal of cooperation between the Canadian military and between the police and the borders and our border services with the United States. They're deeply integrated. Mm-hmm. So there, we may have a better outcome than the Mexicans, but who knows, right? When you're dealing with President Trump, it's anybody's guess.
Well, and with all that fentanyl going over the border, Robert, I mean, it's anyone's guess. Okay, so if you're just joining us, I'm in conversation with the Globe and Mail's Ottawa Bureau Chief, Robert Fyfe. And when this all began earlier this year, the premiers really showed a united front with the feds on this. You know, that unity isn't really coming through these days. You know, Ontario, of course, looking out for its auto sector. In Saskatchewan, we're worried, as always, about canola and more. In BC, their lumber. Is this, do you sense, turning into a sector versus sector, province versus province fight?
Yes, it is. You know, the last time around, there was great unanimity amongst the premiers when we renegotiated NAFTA in 2018. But we're in a different situation now because President Trump wasn't using tariffs back then. He is now using tariffs, and he's hitting countries very, very hard with high, high tariffs that it's all about an effort to try to bring back manufacturing and other jobs back in the United States. Canada is getting hit really hard, particularly our auto sector, but the lumber sector is being really hit. And, of course, Saskatchewan and Manitoba are really feeling the effects of China cutting off, putting 100% tariffs on Canadian canola because of their upset about the fact that the Canadian government has banned Chinese EVs from coming into the country. So we're in a really tough situation here, and we're fortunate we haven't dipped into a recession yet. But I think there's a real desire on the Prime Minister's part to try to get an agreement before he brings down a budget on November the 4th, because that, whatever that agreement is, will determine how much money needs to be available to be able to prop up sectors that are being hit very hard from the American and Chinese tariffs, for that matter. Mm.
BMO CEO Darryl White said at the Toronto Global Forum yesterday that essentially he's worried that our focus on building the economy and reducing trade barriers may lose steam. Do you get that sense that we're losing steam on those big talking points that we were hearing earlier this year?
No, I don't think so. Look, I think that Mr. Carney is very serious about wanting to diversify trade, which, by the way, is not an easy thing to do. In 10 years, we'll be lucky to get 10% of our trade diversified. Maybe I'm being a bit too harsh on that, but we are trying to get our energy, particular energy, to global markets. And, you know, we TMX, which is at now at 70% capacity, is adding a half a percentage point of GDP to the Canadian economy. So when you get 100% of oil going through that pipeline, that'll be really important. We're now getting our LNG through to Kitimat. There's one LNG plant there. There's going to be very likely a second one that'll come up in a few years' time. There's a very good possibility out of this deal with the Americans that the Keystone Pipeline will be revived, which does take away from Carney's diversification mode. But the fact of the matter is, if we can get, because the Americans will want that oil, they get a better deal from Canada because of trade agreements. They pay a lot less than you get than you, the world price. Mm-hmm. And at some point, we'll see whether that makes enough sense for us to get a second oil pipeline to the West Coast. BC is opposed to it. There is no private sector proponent has come up and said we'll spend billions of dollars on this. So we're a long ways from that happening. But there's every, you know, Anita Anand, the foreign affairs minister, just came back from India. She's on her way to China. She'll be there tomorrow to meet with the foreign affairs minister. So there's a real effort here to try to open the Canadian economy to other markets. India is a fast-growing market. It's the biggest economy, fastest-growing economy in the world, and the largest population in the world now.
And you wrote about the prime minister this week wanting to play a bigger role in the Middle East as part of a broader strategy to diversify trade away from the United States as well. We've just got a minute left, Robert, but I want to point people towards a story that you wrote out of about these candid conversations that happened between world leaders in Egypt ahead of that last-minute peace summit this week. And how confident are you, or how likely is it looking that Canada will come out playing a significant role in the Middle East rebuilding and in this apparent peace plan, and that could mean good things for our trade?
Well, I think there's two issues. One is that the prime minister who was talking to Saudi Arabia and the Emir of Qatar about investment possibilities here in Canada, but also for Canadian companies, particularly involved in the oil and gas industry. The second thing, in terms of the peace deal with Gaza, Canada is going to play a role. It's not going to be a major significant role, but it's going to be a role in terms of if we can get this peace agreement into effect, and it's pretty shaky right now, as you know, we may be able to play a role in terms of training the Palestinian security forces, mm-hmm. in providing increased aid to the people in Gaza, but also to play a coordinating role in the rebuilding of Gaza. Most of that money, of course, will come from the Gulf states. So those are the areas that Canada wants to do, wants to be able to play a role. We're not going to be the big players. We're, mm-hmm. we're a middle power, but yes. We want to make a contribution.
Yes. All right, Robert Fyfe, Ottawa Bureau Chief for the Globe and Mail, grateful for your time and insights as always, and looking forward to what you bring us in the hours to come, Robert. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about this a little bit more, and then we're opening up the phone lines. I want to hear from you here on The Evan Bray Show. I'm Tamara Cherry on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.